Little Deaths. Written by Emma Flint. Read by Lauren Fortgang and Graham Halstead. Pete felt Gina Eisen's eyes on him and turned his head to meet them.
What do you think, Miss Eisen? What do you think happened to the children?
No hesitation.
Someone took them.
There was a gasp from a small, dark woman who had been silent until then. She turned to face them, her olive skin flushed.
Don't say that, Gina. Don't you say it.
Gina dropped her cigarette and ground it out with her toe, slowly, deliberately.
Why not? He asked me what I thought.
She looked directly at Pete.
Ruth Malone wouldn't let those kids out of her sight, Mr. Vonicky. They're everything to her. She isn't distracted.
A venomous look at the pursed mouth of Mrs. Burke.
She's busy. She works long hours and she's bringing the kids up by herself. She's busy and she's tired, but she'd know if they wandered away. Someone took them. You'll see.
She bit her lip, swallowed.
Someone, some crazy, came in the night and took them, and she'll...
A nod toward the open window.
She'll be going nuts in there.
All at once, Pete felt the story swell to fill the fears of the women around him. Gina Eisen, at least, believed something bad had happened to those kids. He was suddenly aware of the pounding of his heart, of his dry mouth. This could be the start of something big.
In here, during the long black nights or the still slow hours pacing the yard, Ruth has tried to pinpoint the moment that everything changed. If there was even a moment. Perhaps it was when Devlin found the bottles in her garbage that first morning. Or perhaps it was that afternoon when the call came in. She was standing in her living room holding a glass of cold ginger ale, looking out of the window at the cops on the lawn and at the women on the sidewalk. She watched the women through the slats of the blinds, their darting eyes, shiny beneath teased hair, their glossy mouths opening and closing, their elbows nudged out from beneath folded arms whenever one of the three cops moved. And then the phone rang. She turned, but the young pink-faced cop got there before her. He picked up the receiver, then moved away from her, muttering something that she couldn't hear. She thought it was just another of those calls between cops, nothing to do with her. Then he cupped his hand over the receiver and shouted, "Sergeant Devlin, you need to take this call, sir." Her mouth was already open to ask the question she somehow knew he wouldn't answer, when Devlin came through the door, moving quickly despite that solid, square bulk. He took the phone and ran a hand over his forehead, through his slick hair. "Devlin." A pause. "When? Are you sure?" His eyes slid around the room as he talked, his mind elsewhere. And then his gaze cleared and came to rest on Ruth.